It's a subject not many of us like to think about. How will our final days play out, and what happens to our earthly possessions when we've gone home to the Lord? Estate planning answers some of those questions, but not all of them. Wills and trusts are important components of estate planning, but they only go so far. They apply only to your assets, not you. First up today, financial planner and teacher Rob West explains why you also need a health care directive. Now, today's program is pre-recorded, so please hold your calls for another time, another day. I'm Steve Moore, really happy to have you along for today's edition of MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, healthcare directive seems like a fairly new term, but if everybody needs one, why are we just hearing about this now?
Yeah. Well, the term may be relatively new, but the concept is certainly not. A healthcare directive, Steve, is also called a living will. You might hear it as a medical directive or even a durable healthcare power of attorney, although sometimes the medical power of attorney is a separate document.
Okay. Now, you said living will. I have heard of living trust. Those aren't the same things, are they?
That's correct. Very different.
Okay. All right. But why do we need one then? And we'll get back to the trust in a bit.
All righty. A healthcare directive, Steve, is a legal document that spells out the individual's wishes for care during illness, as you said at the top of the program, and especially during the unfortunate event of dementia. It also specifies end-of-life decisions. The purpose is really to give guidance if the individual can no longer communicate with caregivers and family. Ultimately, it can provide instructions on how the body should be handled after death. So it's a very important document that can, frankly, be a real blessing to your family because it takes all of the guesswork out of end-of-life decisions.
Yeah, and that would be a blessing. Too often, family members disagree on whether various treatments should be continued or not. A health care directive spells out your exact wishes so you can avoid any confusion during this already difficult time.
Well, that's exactly right. So it's a little surprising then that only about one out of three of us have drawn up a healthcare directive. It's not an expensive process. Most states' attorney general's websites offer a legal form you can use. Processing one of those forms costs $50 or less. You can have an attorney draw one up for about $250 to maybe $500. But even at that price, of course, it's well worth it in my view. When you consider all the trouble it will save your surviving family members.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we can talk through this process a bit, and maybe if we do, it'll encourage more folks to do it. So where do we start?
Okay, well, the first thing you need to do is choose your agent. This person is often a family member that, but doesn't necessarily have to be. The agent will, of course, act on your behalf, making decisions according to your wishes if you can't act yourself. So, for example, your agent will speak for you in deciding whether treatment should be continued or if you should simply be made comfortable with hospice care during your final days. In most cases, the spouse is chosen as agent, followed by other family members if the spouse is unable to fulfill that role. But sometimes a friend is chosen as the agent, and of course that can work as well.
All right. So let's say I've decided on my agent. What's next?
Yeah, assuming that you've already drawn up the directive specifying your wishes for end-of-life treatment and what should happen with your body afterward, then you need to go over it in detail with your chosen agent. This is your chance to explain your decisions should the agent need to step in and advocate on your behalf. And the agent's role continues after your death to make sure your post-mortem wishes are carried out. That would include things like funeral arrangements, organ donation and burial, cremation. All of those things can be specified in your living will or healthcare directive and then overseen by your agent following your death.
Okay, that's good. So is that pretty much it then?
Not quite, actually. The idea behind all of this is to eliminate confusion and family conflict in your final days. Springing a living will and agent on unsuspecting family members would be counterproductive to that purpose. So I would just encourage folks to communicate ahead of time with your family members about the health care directive and why you've made certain decisions. If your final wishes are made clear, I think it'll go a long way toward ensuring a smooth, conflict-free end-of-life process. And, of course, that would be the goal.
And while estate planning in general and end-of-life choices and decisions in particular are uncomfortable to think about and plan for, it is something you'll have great peace about once you do it, right?
Exactly right.
All right, great information as always. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. However, today's broadcast is pre-recorded. Keep that in mind. We're going to take a brief break, and then we'll be back with more MoneyWise Live.
Have you ever taken a wrong turn when it comes to money? We all have. And while you can't undo past mistakes, you can steer clear of the financial potholes ahead. This month's issue of the MoneyWise e-magazine is all about helping you make MoneyWise decisions with exclusive podcasts and articles to steer you in the right direction. Your free e-magazine subscription is waiting for you right now at moneywise.org/signup.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Hospitality. Dustin Willis and Brandon Clemens say it's the simplest way to change the world. Gospel-centered hospitality makes a powerful witnessing statement as we open our lives and homes to others. The simplest way to change the world will show you how you can be hospitable even if you don't have the space for it. Most people are more likely to step into a living room than a sanctuary, so why not read The Simplest Way to Change the World? More at moodypublishers.com.
How do you raise godly children in a godless world? Kids who love God, respect authority, and value what's right. Arlene Pellicane can help you do just that in her book, Parents Rising. This book is about growth, not guilt. It's not a pep talk or a try harder speech. Parents Rising offers real help for real problems that every parent faces. Parents Rising. Check it out at moodypublishers.com.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Welcome to MoneyWise Live. Rob West is your host. He's taking your calls, questions, and comments today at 800-525-7000. This is a program about God's wisdom for your money and your finances, and we'd love to help you with that today if we can. Let's begin by going to, Chicago, Illinois. Christina, nice to have you there, and what's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to find out if the cost would be less to change the representative that you've already appointed and you're living will and your health care directive. Is that something that you can do yourself, or is there a less expensive way, or is it just you have to see the attorney about that?
Sure. I think, Christina, it's always good to make sure any changes are done properly. And it's a time where you can actually review and perhaps update not only that document, but anything else that you might have. If you have a will, you want to make some changes or updates, any other legal documents as well. So I would probably have an attorney give it a once over. Of course, that shouldn't be, anything that would involve a lot of time. So it shouldn't be expensive. Especially with someone you've already been working with previously, that should be a fairly insignificant update. But I just think when we're talking about dealing with legal documents and making sure things are in order and have been documented appropriately according to the state you're in and the changes that are being made, it's always good to get professional counsel. And so I'd recommend we have a relationship there with somebody, preferably who's a godly estate planning attorney and understands your values, of course, very competent, and then You can revisit with that person as things change, or at least every few years, to make sure that everything is up to date and in force. But I would probably opt, despite the fact there are a lot of online tools that can be helpful to you, just for me, I'd rather have a professional looking it over. It's a good question, though, and it does underscore this idea that we need to be revisiting these documents periodically to make sure they are current and accurate. And Christina, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for your call today.
Thanks, Christina. In fact, this is our Facebook question of the day. Again, we're taking calls on anything, but the Facebook question of the day is, do you have a health care directive? A number of people have responded. Connie says, yes, Faith, health directives, wills, and digitizing your pictures are the best gifts you can leave your family. And that's not something I've thought about, but as I look through old pictures and as my family grows into adulthood, you know, they're great blessings to have. So I guess that's a good recommendation, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. Charlotte says, my husband and I will soon have such as we send in the paperwork setting up our trust. And Mary Lynn says, nope, don't have one, probably should. Well, you're right. You probably should. We're glad
And as we said at the top of the program, one out of three people are all that do have them. And so that's she's good company. However, I would say let's try to change that because this is an important piece of our estate plan.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay. Jacksonville, Florida. Thomas, how can we help you today, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, I have a question kind of around giving and what the difference is between sacrificial giving. A quick background is me and my wife, through many blessings, have gotten about $22,000 saved up, and we've kind of been spitballing ideas on how to spend it. So and I've also been kind of hearing about sacrificial giving, and it seems like up until this point, most of the giving that has been done has been, you know, kind of it hasn't really been sacrificial, I guess. So I just kind of wanted to get your ideas on what sacrificial giving means, and maybe should we look more into giving this money away or doing something different, because we're kind of not really sure what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you're thinking about being generous. Clearly, Thomas, we see through the Old and the New Testament that we are to be generous. We were created in the image of a generous God, really the ultimate giver, if you think about it. So we're hardwired for giving, I like to say. You know, he gave us his son, and so he modeled the ultimate generosity. Everything we have is ultimately his, which makes us a steward. And so we have an opportunity to be found faithful in taking his resources and using them. In 1 Timothy, we see for our enjoyment. That's clearly one of the purposes. And so we should enjoy what God has entrusted to us. We're to provide. And so provision for our family should be part of that. We should be content, meaning that we need to live within God's provision, not outside of it, despite the fact that the world allows us to do that through debt. And we should be holding everything loosely, which allows us to be generous. And that's actually really where true joy is found, as we allow the Lord to use us to take part of what he's entrusted to us and put it back into circulation in his economy, be a part of his work, join him where he's at work, is where we all enjoy real blessing. And we see that not only bear out in our own lives and just the joy that comes from being generous, but we even see science back that up. I was just reading a study a couple of weeks ago about the physical impact on our body when we're generous and when we're grateful. It's profound, but that's just echoing God's design. So how do you approach that in your life? Well, I think the key is to recognize that, first of all, we want to give as we've been prospered, and that's what we see Jesus talking about, that we were blessed with much. And so out of that provision, we should be, I would say, systematic in our giving, meaning following the principle of the tithe, first fruits, right off the top, we should give systematically. And I think God's plan A is the local church. So we should start there and support the work of the local church. But then we have the opportunity to give beyond that systematic, perhaps proportionate giving. That's where we begin to reorder our finances and find ways to do even more. And oftentimes that comes out of the sheer joy and blessing of being a part of God's work and experiencing that. And we begin to make changes in our financial lives to say, okay, what if I dialed back my spending? What if I got out of debt? What could be possible if I were to reorder my finances so I can do even more? And that's really where the sacrificial giving comes in. Ron Blue, the author, talks about the different levels of giving as the should give, meaning what we should give out of what God has prospered us. He talks about the could give, meaning if I make some changes, what could I do even now? And then what he calls the would give, which says, and if God blesses me over and above this, I'll do even more. And he's almost anticipating that. So how does that apply in your life? Well, I think we need to follow biblical principles. So I would start by saying we need to have a spending plan and a budget that really says, here's how we're going to take what God has provided and allocate it among provision, enjoyment, contentment, and make sure that we have our bills covered based on the lifestyle you feel like he's called you to. Beyond that, you should be, I believe, systematic in your giving. And then with excess or with money that you could create by making some changes, I think you have the opportunity to do even more. So I would start with that spending plan. I'd make sure you have some emergency savings. We say as a guideline, 3 to 6 months expenses, and then look for ways where you can advance your giving beyond that. Tell me about this $20,000. Has it been earmarked for anything specific, or is it truly over and above your emergency savings and really just available to be given even now?
Yeah, so it's over and above. Like I said, initially we were maybe thinking about doing something to the house, but as I like I said, I heard more and more about this concept of sacrificial giving, and you know we do the tithe, and you know we also set even in as part of our spending plan, we do set aside extra monies on top of that for you know any needs that arise in the local church. So good. I was keep praying about this, and I wasn't sure if maybe this is something that you know we could do something else with.
Well, I love the idea, and you certainly can't outgive God. So I would really make this an adventure with you and your wife and take some time to continue to talk and pray about it and just ask the Lord to make it clear what he would have you to do. It sounds like this is clearly something that's been placed on your heart, and so I wouldn't let that pass. This may be an opportunity to say, you know what, despite what we thought the purpose of this money was, we're going to redirect that, knowing that God can use this if we're faithful in following his leading in that. So take some time, continue to talk and pray through it, but then if that's the direction you're going, I wouldn't hesitate to make that gift. And I'm confident that on the other side of that, you'll come back and say, you know what, that was one of the best decisions we've ever made. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I'd love for you to send you a book where you can explore this a little bit further. It's called The Treasure Principle. It's by Randy Alcorn. If you stay on the line, we'll get your information, get that right out to you.
Thomas, we're glad you called today. Stick around. Let's get some information from you. And then we'll be back to speak with Frederick. He's filing his taxes this year for the first time as a minister. That and more when MoneyWise Live continues.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
All the heavenly hosts out there, all the activity, there is activity throughout the heavenlies. And we will say that they are invisible. But let's be a little more specific. They are invisible to us. They are not invisible. We've got to understand what Scripture is telling us, that it is because our eyes cannot see. It is our limitation, not the fact that they are vaporous kinds of beings. Am I making sense to anybody? Because there is a very big difference between being invisible and being invisible to us. Because what we're going to find when this life is over is that our eyes have never begun to see what is truly visible until we are given eternal eyes. Until our eyes are open, we cannot see what surrounds us. But let me assure you, it is tangible, it is real, and there is a constant flurry of activity happening out there. It's our tendency to think, particularly in the arrogance of man, that what is going on in the universe is what is going on right here on this planet. But while we go about our lives on this planet, and God has a kingdom agenda that is addressed straight to us, the heavenlies are filled with hosts.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. The online experience is now available at bethmoore.org. Join Beth for Now That Faith Has Come, a study of Galatians at bethmoore.org. On behalf of Beth Moore and the entire Living Proof team, Happy New Year.
Good to have you joining us today on MoneyWise Live. Find us on the web at moneywiselive.org. But today we're not live, so if you hear that phone number, please don't call, but do stick around. Lots of good information ahead. Let's go to Lakeland, Florida now. Frederick, you are a first-time pastor, or filing as a first-time pastor this year, huh?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
This year I'll file as a minister for the first time, and I don't know what to claim, and I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. By the way, I quit my secular job last year, and I remember I called you for some advice and gave me some advice. I'm glad I quit my job because now I'm happy and I enjoy what I'm doing. I have more time for the church and for my family as well.
I'm delighted to hear that, Frederick. Well, how can we help you today specifically as it relates to filing your tax return?
Yes, I want to know that what can I claim? For example, I use, that's what I'm doing for full time. I use my car for the work. And I want to know that what can I claim and what I should not, because that's what I'm, that's the first time I'm going to file as a preacher.
Sure, sure. Well, you would generally be considered, in most cases, self-employed, and so you would obviously be able to exclude unreimbursed expenses as a minister. But, you know, the most common thing that you would have available to you that is not available to somebody else is the housing allowance. Ministers may exclude from their gross income a cash housing allowance paid or the rental value of a home provided in kind. Are you being paid a housing allowance from your church?
No, I don't get that. And okay. I have my own house.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that would be one of the unique opportunities for a minister. I think it's important to take a look, you know, and perhaps for this first year, did you come previously from an employment situation where you earned W-2 income?
Yes.
Okay. So I would recommend that you get a CPA to prepare your return, at least for this year, just so you can walk through. You know, anytime you have a major change, Frederick, in your financial life, it's always good to make sure you're getting professional counsel so you know, have the opportunity to really ask some questions and take full advantage of the tax law in this case, just because this is not going to be your typical filing year. And once you understand what's available to you, it'll become more simple moving forward. Is there a CPA in the church or somebody you've worked with in the past?
Yes, there is somebody we normally use to file our tax, yeah.
Okay, very good. So I would start by connecting with that person just to walk through and make sure that if you do need to do quarterly filings, if you are considered self-employed, that you, or not filings, but quarterly payments, that that's being done, that you understand what deductions are available to you, and you've structured everything properly. And that'll just be really helpful to you in this first year especially. But delighted to hear you've made this change and that you're serving the Lord in this way. It sounds like he's really using you tremendously. If you have questions after you visit with your CPA, don't hesitate to give us a call back.
And Frederick, if you don't mind, if you have a pencil or a pen handy, you can go. Here's a website you could check out if you have a couple of minutes, thetaxadvisor.com, thetaxadvisor.com/issues, and that will take you to back issues. And I know they've had several articles in the past that may help you get your arms around this, in addition to what you'll find on the IRS's own website, which these days is pretty easy to understand, irs.gov. And we're glad you called. Thanks very much. Parma, Ohio. Hello, Kathy. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hey, I recently visited my credit union, and I was told that I'm meeting all the requirements. You get 2% interest on my checking account if I would just use my debit card 20 times a month. And I was, it was recommended to transfer everything from savings into checking because that's the only one that's eligible. Savings is the normal, you know, 0.000 interest. So normally I use my credit card and get rewards. So this month I did make the switch over, but I'm nervous having all my eggs in one basket, you know, my savings and checking all in now one account, and having that something that's accessible. The person at the credit union told me there's no more risk doing this than there is using a credit card.
Yeah, Kathy, you know, I don't have a problem with debit cards. In fact, I like the idea that you can only spend up to what's available on in your balance in the account. Where they will be a bit more challenging is related specifically to fraud cases. You're only responsible for up to $50 of unauthorized transactions, but that's only if you report it within 2 days. If it's not within 2 days, it could go up to $500. And then beyond that, you have to, in some cases, you'll have unlimited damage, but also you have the kind of just the hassle of the money being out of your account. And now if you're paying systematically, things are bouncing and there could be expenses associated with it, as opposed to a credit card where you're not liable for those charges and the money isn't coming out of the account. So those would be the main differences. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
You've wanted to attend Founders Week, the largest and longest-running annual Bible conference, but you haven't been able to get there. Well, this year you can be there, because Founders Week will be completely digital, February 2nd through the 5th. Go to foundersweek.org for a list of sessions, speakers, and topics. See all the ways that you can participate, including sign language and Spanish language live streams. Founders Week, February 2nd through the 5th. Learn more at foundersweek.org.
Do you feel stuck? Are you tired of going through the motions of faith? Do you want to make real progress in your life but not know where to start? How to Grow is a book to help you grow spiritually and help others grow as well. We often see the gospel as a starting point of the Christian life rather than the main point of all life. How to Grow, a new book by Daryl Dash, available at moodypublishers.org. That's moodypublishers.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The death of Louisiana's newest Republican member of the U.S. House from complications related to COVID-19 stunned the state's political circles and offered the latest brutal reminder of the risk of the coronavirus. Luke Letlow passed away on Tuesday. He was 41. The new coronavirus variant has been found in a Colorado man, a member of the National Guard. That has triggered a host of questions about how the first reported U.S. case of the new version showed up in Colorado. Another Guard member may also be infected in that state. Stocks closing modestly higher on Wall Street, keeping major indexes at or near record highs. The Dow gained 73 points today. The NASDAQ was up 19 and the S&P 500 ahead 5. This is SRN News.
Here at MoneyWise Live, we do our best to remind ourselves and remember that God owns it all. If you kind of start there, the rest of it makes a whole lot of sense, and those pieces to the puzzle start to fit together just a bit easier. 800-525-7000, up to the Toledo, Ohio area. And Lee, what's your question for Rob?
Hi. Thanks for taking and having me on the air today.
Sure.
My financial advisor is pretty convinced that I'll come out ahead if I go ahead and get a mortgage instead of saving the full amount to buy a home. And he also says it would be unwise to drop that kind of money into a home and basically have all my eggs in one basket. He's really encouraging me just to get the mortgage, and I'd rather not.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Sure, Lee. Tell me a little bit about your financial situation in terms of is this you're coming out of one home and into another, or have you been renting previously?
I'm renting right now. It'd be my first home purchase.
Okay, great. And then give me a sense of what you have in the way of savings.
Right now I have a little over $70,000.
Okay. And then is that separate from any long-term savings you're doing for, let's say, retirement?
It is. Okay. I just started a simple IRA, but I'm hardly contributing. I wanted to save for the house first.
Okay. All right. Very good. And what did you say your age was?
I'm 20 right now, and I'm not married, so I'm not really in a hurry.
Okay. Very good. And in terms of any debt that you have, do you have anything at all that you owe?
I have no debt.
Great. And what were you looking to spend on this home?
Probably 140 to 160.
Okay.
What I want.
All right. And so the question is, you know, what he's encouraging you to do is to continue to rent and delay the purchase until you can, or what you'd like to do is delay the purchase until you can buy with cash?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's saying, no, go ahead and get a mortgage. Tell me about that desire to remain completely debt-free and continue renting. Is that just a conviction you have? Is that something you feel like the Lord's leading you to do? Is it just you just don't want to have debt? And I can certainly understand that. But I'm just curious about your desire to really own this free and clear from the very beginning.
Well, I'm convicted of it, and I like to think of debt as a last case scenario. I mean, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin, but it advises a lot against it. And if I don't have to, I'd rather not.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, I certainly wouldn't take issue with that, Lee. We don't see much good in the Bible regarding debt. In fact, it's all just about a warning every area we see debt mentioned. So there's not a lot good that comes out of it. I think to your point, it's not a sin. especially when we're doing it for, I think, a productive purpose in the sense that we're borrowing with the ability to repay, in the sense that we are not presuming on the future. And with a home purchase, that would look like putting a significant amount down so that the value of the home could be realized if it was sold to pay off the debt. So it's fully collateralized, even in the event of a significant downturn. And you add to that the fact that in most economies, the home should be appreciating over time. So we're borrowing for something that's not depreciating but appreciating. Now, what I would do, though, if I had a conviction about this, and I think we all need to approach our financial decisions that way and really pray through them, and if we feel like or have a conviction about remaining completely debt-free, then I would set all that aside and say, you need to go for that. And I wouldn't take any issue with that whatsoever. Now, what are the implications of that? Well, it probably means you're going to have to wait a little bit longer than you might otherwise to buy the house. Sounds like you're okay with that. Great. Secondly, it may mean that you're not able to save as much early for your retirement savings. And, you know, just recognize that the power of compounding works over time most effectively. And so you're giving up a little of that compounding effect. But again, if you really have that conviction about being debt-free, I wouldn't think twice about that. God is bigger than all of that. And if that's something he's really laid on your heart, then I would say you absolutely go for that. So I don't take any issue with this whatsoever. And the fact that, you know, an investment professional could make the case on paper for you to do better over time with certain assumptions saying, well, if you were to take this same amount of money and invest it over 30 years, and if the market does this or that, then that's going to come out better than you getting a low interest rate mortgage now. That would be legitimate, and he or she could make a case for that on paper, but I don't think that factors in, A, the peace of mind that you get by remaining debt-free, and B, honoring the convictions that you have, which I think really would be preeminent in this situation. So at the end of the day, I would go with really whatever direction you feel like the Lord is leading you. Does that make sense?
It does. Do you have any idea how long would be too long to wait and save?
Well, no, there's not a right or wrong answer there. Again, I think you just have to recognize there's trade-offs. We have limited resources, and so every decision has a corresponding effect on the rest of our financial lives. So the extent to which we're maximizing our savings means that's money that's being put aside that can't be used for another purpose, like giving in the short term, like investing for the long term, like using in your lifestyle, things like that. So that's where we need to develop God-given goals, and we need to sit down and ask, what do I feel like God is calling me to, starting with my lifestyle, which is going to dictate how much you spend in your budget each month? And then beyond that, what are the goals you have for both short-term and long-term savings? Shorter term for the house, longer term for things like retirement, and then, of course, you need to put the giving goals in there as well, and then try to find a balance between all of it. And, you know, that's really where I think you have to exercise some faith and just understand the trade-offs that you're making anytime you make these decisions. So I would say give it some significant prayer and thought, and then see where you land. And if we can help along the way, don't hesitate to reach back out to us.
Hmm. Lee, we're glad that you called today. We wish you the best as you work through this. And it's a great question you've asked and something worth serious consideration. So, Rob, my question would be, obviously, it's a good thing that he's meeting with a financial planner, someone who can walk him through and help him think through these kinds of things. But what if you get a sense at some point, and I'm not saying he's there, but what if you get a sense at some point that you and the person who's managing your finances just aren't on the same wavelength, or you may disagree with this person? When is it time to maybe start looking for someone else? Or am I suggesting you pull the trigger too quickly?
Yeah. You know, I think it's just like working with any professional, Steve. There needs to be really a relationship that's productive, where there's a meeting of the minds, where you have a good rapport, there's a good flow of communication, there's a high level of trust. You know, whether it's somebody who's performing a surgery on you or somebody who's managing God's money that's been entrusted to you and helping you make decisions. And so I think if at any point there's either something that you don't feel like there's alignment, that's values oriented or conviction oriented, where a professional can't be supportive of the decisions you're being led to make, then I would use that as serious cause to think about perhaps there's somebody else that would be a better fit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
All right. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. It's a pleasure to have you joining us today. We're going to pause for a brief break, but don't go away.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Every time you say thank you or goodbye without adding the words God bless you is a wasted opportunity to move that person closer to Jesus. It may make you feel good, lift their spirits, and leave them thinking you're a really nice person, but that's it. Being nice is not redemptive. There are millions of unsaved people who are nice to people simply because they're nice people. Christians haven't cornered the market of being nice. In fact, there are unsaved people who are nicer than most Christians. But every time you add God bless you to your thank yous and goodbyes, people know you're a nice person because you're a Christian. And that gives the glory to God where it belongs. And every time you fail to do that is a missed opportunity to move people closer to Jesus. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Authors Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth have heard many life stories.
They all point to the same God, whose hand we see in everything. So we can trust Him to write the story.
It's encouragement you need to give God the control.
And He's wanting our lives to be a written, living demonstration for our good and for His glory.
You can trust God to write your story by Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth. Order your copy today at moodypublishers.com.
How do you reach people who call themselves Christian but don't know Jesus? Find out by reading The Unsaved Christian. Dean Ancira was a cultural Christian. Today, he pastors a thriving church, and he wrote this book to offer starting points that lead to deeper conversations. You'll be equipped to confront cultural Christianity and lovingly share the gospel to the cultural Christians in your life. Cultural Christianity is a huge mission field in desperate need of missionaries. Get your copy of The Unsaved Christian at moodypublishers.com.
And to preserve the time here, let's go right back to our phone, Springfield, Illinois. Nancy's been holding a bit. And what's on your mind today, Nancy?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And I want to say I really enjoy your program every day. My question is, if something applies for a credit card, does that negatively affect their credit rating?
Yeah, what you're talking about there is a credit inquiry, and credit inquiries, meaning a hard inquiry where you authorize a lender to review your credit for the purpose of considering whether or not to extend you credit, which would be exactly what's happening when you apply for a credit card. It does generally hurt your credit in the sense that it will reduce the score by several points. It shouldn't be significant unless there's several of them in a short period of time. But the credit scoring formula takes into account the fact that you're out looking for credit, which based on the algorithm says that you have a greater likelihood because you're out seeking credit that you are a higher credit risk, even though that credit risk is just slightly higher, as evidenced by just a few points coming down. So it's not something I would be concerned about. The main thing, Nancy, I would always be thinking about is, is this a good decision for me? Am I, applying for any kind of debt for the right reason? So in the case of a credit card, if you're opening a card that you plan to use for budgeted items, you plan to pay it off at the end of every month, hopefully there's not an annual fee, that's a legitimate use for a credit card. And if you have a temporary decline in your credit score by a few points or even, 10 or 20 points for a short period of time, it'll come right back up. And that's just a function of what happens when we go through this. So I wouldn't let that stop you. I think, the bigger issue is this a good decision for me and my financial life based on where I am right now and what's going on? Do you follow that, though?
Yep, I do. And I'm actually calling for somebody else because they were at work, but they pay their current credit card off every month. They've never not done that. Okay. And this one, the one they're going to apply for, has more perks to it. And there is a annual fee, but with the amount of just the paying their bills and, the normal stuff that they charge, the point value exceeds the annual fee. So because they did look at that to make sure that wasn't going to be an issue.
Yeah, and I would just say be careful there and just make sure you do your homework. You can look at sites like NerdWallet, and there's a number of other ones out there, Bankrate.com, that will give you ratings for all of these different cards. I prefer not to pay an annual fee. Just make sure you read the fine print and make sure the amount you charge on a monthly basis is, in fact, going to generate rewards that would get over and above that. So you just got to count the cost and then make sure that you're only using or they are only using this card for budgeted items so that it can, in fact, be paid off in full every month. And the first month that doesn't happen, I'd cut it up and be done with it because it's not worth going into debt over. But at the end of the day, there's new cards all the time. They're getting very creative in terms of how they're offering these rewards. So just make sure you do your homework and take advantage of some great resources online and, before you make any decisions.
Speaking of credit cards, Rob, I received an emergency email today telling me that my Discover card has been compromised and that they have gone ahead and frozen my card. And if I ever wanted to get it back and use it again, then all I needed to do would be to contact them at a specific email address with all of my personal information and they would reenact my card. And you can't imagine how much better I felt after I did that.
Oh,
or didn't do that.
I hope you did. Was there anywhere in there that said that if you send a gift card, they'll call it even?
No. No gift cards.
Yet. Okay. All right.
But I just didn't pursue it any further.
I know you're saying that tongue in cheek, so let me just make sure our listening audience knows don't ever give out your personal information to someone who is calling you or emailing you unless you initiate that contact directly with your financial institution. Yeah.
And as you may not know, but I mean as an older person, I've never ever had a Discover card in my life. So, it just made the whole thing a little crazy, all right. Well, let's move along here to Andrew, who's a younger person calling from Lakeland, Florida.
Hi, Andrew. Hi. We're so glad you called today. How can we help, sir?
Hi. Well, my question for you was, sorry if it's on earth. I've never been on the air before. Fully my belief or faith in God really has been lacking or slowly going away lately. I still consider myself Catholic and if I had kids, I would raise them Catholic. I think I like the church and I like its teachings, but I don't know. I slowly stopped going to church mostly because well, it was at the crack of dawn. It was like at 5 in the morning. I'm sorry. But, and I don't know. I mean, I still go on Easter and Christmas out of respect. I feel like my time Sunday morning could be spent like better elsewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, let me just tell you, I am so glad you called today and delighted to hear your bit of your story. You know, first of all, I think you need to recognize that desire that you have, the sense that you have that perhaps something is missing, is a God-sized space in your heart. And, you know, we were all created by our Creator, the Lord Himself. And yet, because of sin that entered the world, that relationship has been broken. And the opportunity that we're all presented, the free gift we're given, that, by the way, Andrew, we cannot earn ourselves, is that Jesus, our Savior, came really to plug that hole, to fill the gap and restore that right relationship with our Heavenly Father, with God. And He did that by dying on the cross. And that free gift, if we'll place our trust in Jesus Christ, allows that relationship to be restored so that we can be in fellowship with God and ultimately in heaven with Him forever. And that's the opportunity we have. And you know what? It's a personal relationship. If you think about a mountaintop and all of these religions of the world that say there are things we can do if God's at the top and we're standing at the base, there's all these things we can do to earn our way up to the top, to meet with Him and to be with Him. And yet Christianity is the only one that says, you know what? He comes to us. And he does that by the Lord, by God sending His Son to us to die, to pay the penalties for our sin. And so when we accept that, then that allows us to be in fellowship with Him. And then really, we want to be in fellowship with other people who are working on that relationship and really striving to get to know and grow in that relationship with the Lord by reading the Word, the Bible, His Word that He gave to us, so we can know what's on His heart. We can know Him more intimately by fellowshipping with other believers who also share that trust and faith in Him. And that's why we join a local church. So I'd love for you to do a couple of things. Number one, I'd love for you to go to a website to learn more about what I just described, and it's needhim.org, needhim.org. And I want you to learn a bit more about Jesus and understand what He's done for you and the hope that you can have when you place your trust in Him and how that will change your life forever. There's folks that would love to chat with you about that, explain things that you don't understand. And if you go to needhim.org, I think that would be a great starting point. The second thing I'd like for you to do is to get a Bible. And when we're done here today, if you don't have one, let our producers know that, and we'll send you one. It'd be our gift to you. And I'd love for you just to start reading the book of John, the Gospel of John, and begin to acquaint yourself with the life of Jesus so you can understand a bit more about what happened when God sent Him. And you can begin to read that account. And again, if you don't have that, we'll get it to you. And then I'd love to follow up with you and hear more about your story and see what God is doing in your life. I'd also like, thirdly, for you to find a Bible-believing church in your area to explore this a bit more. And so would you be willing to do that, Andrew?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I want you to hold the line. We're going to get your information. Then I want you to go to needhim.org. And then I also want you to tell our producers if you have a Bible. And if not, we'll get that right out to you. And then we'll get your information as well. And I'll follow up with you. I'd love to ask you a lot more questions. Unfortunately, the program is about over today. But I'm so grateful you called. Would you mind if I prayed for you before we let you go?
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Father, Andrew clearly wants to know you. And he has questions. He wants to be a good dad, Lord. But above all of that, Lord, we know that you came that we might have life, and that ultimately we have a need for a Savior because sin has broken this fellowship that we have with you. We're all sinners. every one of us, Lord. And when we place our trust in you, we're just so thankful for the free gift of eternal life that you give to us. There's nothing we could do to earn or deserve it. I pray that you would reveal yourself to Andrew, even now, in a really special way, Lord, that he would surrender his life to you, that you would make yourself known to him, and that he'd begin to grow in that relationship. So, Lord, we just ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit, and we tell you today we love you, and we're thankful for your son, Jesus, and we ask all this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Andrew, again, we are so glad that you called today, and that's such a good reminder, Rob, that, you know, we sit here day in and day out because God's given us this tremendous opportunity, but our bottom line is you can't take it with you, and yes, God wants us to be good managers of his stuff while we're here as a way, you know, as a ministry to those around us, but at the same time, when we get to heaven, I don't think God's going to ask to see our checkbook. It's all about faith in him and repentance and living the way God wants us to live. So we have that wonderful opportunity and a great reminder today, huh?
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for being there today. And thank you for your prayers that make this program possible. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Have a great remainder of your day. Drive safely. Join us again next time for MoneyWise Live.